It's a delight to be back here again. A couple months ago, I was here. Some of you might not have been here, but if you don't know who this stranger is, my name is Bill Geis, and back in the late 80s, I was a young seminarian like Jake, running around this place and spent a lot of time here. And in the late 70s, I was actually a Luther leaguer running around this place, coming from Chicago and Pastor Bias's congregation in Norwich. Today, I serve the Missouri District as the President's Assistant for Congregational Services and Missions. And so I greet you on behalf of God's people here in South City, many of the congregations, your brothers and sisters in the Missouri District. It is also a day that's very special to me, All Saints Day, and in remembering those who have gone before us. 2 years ago this month, my mother passed away after a lengthy illness in which I was one of her primary caregivers. And so as I think through this day, a lot of emotions touch my own heart, and I'm still working through that grief process in my own life. And so I wanted to ask you to think about, as we turn to God's Word today, who are you celebrating today? Who are you thinking about? Where are you in your own grief story as you take that journey as people who live by faith in Jesus and live in the hope of the resurrection, but yet we live in the not yet. It's not all fulfilled yet. We don't see the whole picture. Who are you thinking about today? Pause for just a second. I want you to really put some of those people in your mind of who is with the Lord that you miss today. As we do this, as we remember our loved ones, I want you to also think about this question. Where was Jesus in their story? You know the story of Jesus, and you confessed him in the Apostles' Creed that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate for our sins, that he was crucified as the punishment for our peace, and he was resurrected on the third day so that we too might be raised from the dead and from this sinful veil of tears into everlasting life. We know that's the picture. That's the story. But how did Jesus walk with your loved ones, and how does Jesus walk with you today in your story? You see, what I find in walking that story of struggle with Christian people is that very few people are very few believers in Jesus are afraid that they won't see heaven someday, but they're afraid of how they're going to get there. And I am too. My mother had glioblastoma, a type of brain cancer that just takes away your abilities in various ways, and she was terrified about how she was going to get to heaven. She wasn't worried about heaven. She would love to just kind of leap over and get there, but she didn't want to go through this. And you know what? As her son, I didn't either. You see, I'm a pastor. And I'm the first pastor in a line of kind of curmudgeon-y Geises, an unlikely family to produce a pastor. And here I am trying to be a son to my mother, but my mother wants me to be a pastor to her. And I'm thinking, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. But my mother said, you did, and you're going to do my funeral as well. And I did. But all along the way, I was worried about the journey. I wasn't worried about getting there. I was worried about what was going to happen along the way. And we sang one of the verses, you know, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. That's where we are today. Well, the spoiler alert today is Revelation chapter 7, because we get to look at a picture of what heaven and earth look like. It's not just about heaven, it's about you and I as well. And I titled this sermon, When Faith and Hope Need a Lift, because here's my impression of things, and that is that from time to time, we need to be able to get a little bit more altitude from all of our problems and all our worries about this life and all the pains that we suffer over as we grieve loved ones who we miss dearly. We need to have a little bit of altitude to see things from a perspective that allows us an encouragement where we feebly struggle and they in glory shine. And so today I'd like to take that scripture, it's on page 3 of your bulletin, and just give us all a little bit of lift. I'm not going to do it, but I think the voice of the Lord is. And the wonderful thing about this scripture is a portion of it is used in a common canticle sung in our services, This is the Feast. And that verse there is in verse 12. So if you find in your bulletin, verse 12, I'd like to read it together. Okay? So I'm actually serious about you taking out your bulletin. So page 3, verse 12, it's in the middle of the second column, and it begins with the word saying. We're not going to say that word. We're going to start with amen. Okay? So let's say it all together. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. While we feebly struggle and they in glory shine, this is what God's saints do here on earth and in heaven. We all shout these words. There's 7 of them. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. That's not by coincidence. Revelation is a book that uses all kinds of numeric kind of equations to help you connect to Jesus. They're not secret code books or anything else. They're just numbers to help you understand Jesus. 7 is the number of completeness in Hebrew thinking and other cultures as well. And so when 7 words are attributed to God, it means this is the complete picture, right? And many years ago, I actually preached a sermon called this, is that in the middle of it all, give thanks. The middle word is thanks. And I think that's how you and I cope in this life, is that we live in a life of gratitude to the glory and power of God, His majesty. In the middle of it all, we give thanks. When grief overwhelms me, I give thanks. When I'm dealing with problems that I don't know how to solve, I stop and I give thanks because there is someone greater than me to take the mantle of power and strength that I don't have to fix these problems. When my faith is struggling with doubts of things I don't understand, in the middle of it all, I just say, stop, I get a little more altitude, and I say, thank God. And that's what we do here as people who feebly struggle while they in glory shine. In the middle of it all, we give thanks. So, how do you get some lift from this passage? I want to share a few things for you. First of all, in verse 10, we hear that people, John is shown a vision, and in that vision, we hear that people are crying in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's what John hears. That's what John sees going on, that people in this picture are praising God and they're saying these words, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And here's the insight I have about that. My father, the more that time passes, the more his stories of the olden days get embellished. Does that ever happen for you? It happens to me too. I've inherited that gene. And so when he tells stories about my great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, my great-great-great-grandfather, and they get bigger and bigger, I'm like, I don't know if they're really true. Because, you know, Dad's just telling a big story. And I've learned also that sometimes things painful in life end up later on, with a little bit more perspective, they start to become great stories. I'm looking at Phil and Carol Mixad, and many years ago, back in the 70s, I was on my way to their home in Minnesota at the time, and we had a van that was leaking a quart of oil every 20 miles. And so it was winter time, and it took us like two cases of oil. It's probably one case of oil, but we embellish now, right? But we're scared to death of getting there, and we just kept adding oil to this car, and we finally made it to Phil and Carol's house, and it became this story that we've told for decades, okay? But at the time, it wasn't fun. It was scary. But now, it's like fun. And some of our stories that we've gone through painful journeys, time has a way of us just kind of with wishful thinking and embellishment, we kind of gloss it over. But the reality is this, that sin and its consequences of pain, suffering, and death in our world today leave real scars. And no matter how much we embellish or laugh about them in the aftermath of them, there's still deep wounds in every one of us. And so we can't just wish away our problems in this life. One of the people I'm remembering today was a 15-year-old boy named Philip Teepee, who died of AIDS as a hemophiliac in 1995. I still mourn his death. And the years I sat with him and took that journey with him painfully, begging God to allow him to stay here with us. I know he's in a better place. I know that he in glory shines, but it still hurts that Philip didn't grow up to be an adult and impact the world like he impacted my life. That scar will never go away. I can't embellish on the story in a way that will make it better, but verse 10 does. Saints cry out, saints on earth and saints in heaven cry out, salvation belongs to our God. Saving from this misery, God's deliverance from our troubles does not happen by my wishful thinking or dad's great stories. Salvation belongs to our God, and he sits on the throne. That's important because Revelation uses symbols, and a throne is a place of power and authority. A throne is where people rule from. And God sits on the throne of this world, of the cosmos, and because our God sits upon the throne, no matter what the devil or this world throws at you, no matter what disease or hardship or employers or the government throws your way, God still sits on the throne. He is still in charge. And not only is God in charge, but our God is real. He's authentic. He deals with real world problems, and it's not like he waves a magic wand and they all go away. Instead, it belongs to the Lamb, which reminds us that God's power is not manifested in some kind of magical way, but in a way that invokes divine suffering and sacrifice through his son Jesus. Jesus is called the Lamb here because he was the sacrifice to cover every wounded hurt and every grief in our life. God rules. And God sacrifices for you, his saints. That should give you a lift. The second point I want to say about giving us a lift comes to us from that wonderful acclamation in verses 11 and 12 about that we read. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and might be to our God. And in the midst of all of that, we see a community of people worshiping God. Now, I want to tell you about a little kid named Jerome. Early in my ministry, in 1991, I started a ministry called Jesus Club for after-school kids. And Jerome was this kid that was a really tough kid who he didn't want to have anything to do with sissy stuff, and he didn't want to go to church, and it was just him and his mom, and mom had a hard life, and Jerome just covered his problems with his tough exterior. But he would come to Jesus Club, and he'd always cause trouble, and our volunteers would get all upset and everything else. And I'd sit with Jerome, and finally Jerome said to me one day, he's like, "Pastor Bill, I don't want to go to heaven." I'm like, "Really? Why, Jerome?" He says, "All you do in heaven is wear white robes and sing songs all the time, and I don't want anything to do with that." Because Jerome had a very limited picture of what heaven looked like. He knew something about this verse, that people wear white robes in heaven and they sing songs. But what Jerome didn't understand is that the song is more than just something we do in church or something that is a particular cultural definition of what it means to worship God, but rather it's an intrinsic, heartfelt thing that salvation belongs to our God, yes, and to Him belongs all praise and glory and wisdom, all those things that God deserves our cheers, even when life seems to be on the losing side of this life. That God is brings glory. God shines in a world that is filled and obsessed with darkness. And God brings wisdom, not the kind of wisdom that's brilliance and smartness, but wisdom that brings a sense of fear for the Lord, of trust in Him above all things. That's the song of our heart, that our God not just rules on a throne, but our God lives in our lives in such a way that we cheer Him on in the midst of it all. And on the backside of those seven things come those powerful words that honor, which is really a picture of favor, that God brings blessing, favor. Things happen because God brings it into our lives. Power and strength, it comes from God, not from us. And that should give us a lift because we have a God who will carry us through with His favor, with a smile on His face in this life. And you know what? That gets us through the middle. That gets us through the things that we fear the most because God will carry us through it all. That gives His saints a lift. Moving on to verse 14. Here's another lift. In verse 13, John is asked to identify the people, and John humbly says, "Well, sir, you know." And I don't know if John knew or didn't know, but he was looking at himself. Not just people who have died and gone to heaven, but also he is looking at the picture of him in that story. You are looking at the picture of yourself in that story. You've washed your robes in the blood of the Lamb. Your robe isn't a costume that you wear on Halloween. Your robe is your life. Your robe is your tribulations. Your robe is your struggles, your doubts, your fears, your pains, your sins. Your robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and they've come out shining. And that gives us a lift. That's not Dad embellishing the story or me enjoying a reminiscence that kind of glosses over fear. But when you and I bring our troubles to the power of Jesus, when we take our life's robes and wash them in the blood of the Lamb, they come out shining. And finally, in verses 15 and 16, saints, you and I who need a lift as God's people, we're told that we live in the presence of our Savior. Now, if you believe yourself in that picture, then you have to understand that it's not just about later, it's now. And that day and night we serve him. And that day and night we live in his midst. And that sometimes, I bet, wives, you might cook a beautiful dinner for your husband and he shows no appreciation for you. Or grandparents, you know, you love your grandchildren and yet they push you away. Or you work for your employer and you feel unappreciated. But the picture is that we serve God night and day. What we do matters to God. And that God pays attention and receives our service with his loving presence. And I know that my service is feeble and it doesn't measure up to God's greatness and anything that would merit him. But he looks upon me as a father looks upon a little child giving a crayon drawing and says, Bill, that's beautiful. And that's what, because of Jesus and God's love for you and his son, whatever you deliver and offer to him with your life, with your vocation, with your service, with your gifts and offerings, with your telling his story, you are offering that little crayon drawing to your heavenly father and just beams at you and says, well done. Because every act of service that goes on in your life, whether it is noticed by others or not, doesn't matter because it's noticed by God. And not only is it noticed by God, but it is sanctified by God with his holiness and his power to make a difference in the world today. And so he ends this picture by saying, whatever creeps into your life to mess up this picture of heaven, this picture of your eternity and fellowship with God, just say no. No more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow. They have been all washed away. And you live in the living water stream of the Lamb's care and protection in your life. That's the story of the saints. We are in the middle of it. And I know we agonize over getting through it, but the picture is that our God brings us through it. And he not only gets us through by the skin of our teeth, but he brings us through with grace and glory. He says that God's saints can proclaim not only in eternity, but today, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever.